Song of Solomon 5, I think we can maybe see what's going on. I think we can maybe see what's happening in front of our eyes and get some instruction from it. All right? So as you go to Song of Solomon 5, I want you to also take and go to Revelation chapter 3. Okay? And in Revelation chapter 3, I want you to notice something. Revelation chapter 3, look what the Bible says in verse number 10. Now, the church that was spoken to before Laodicea was Philadelphia. Okay? Now, we know that these seven churches are pictures of seven church ages. And these seven church ages are so distinct that even secular historians often date their secular histories by the same brackets that these church ages represent. They're just there. Secular historians who don't believe the Bible, don't accept any of this, but they bracket the date sometimes of secular history with the same bracket of these church ages. They really do. Okay? Now, the church at Philadelphia, God gave them an open door. This was the period of the King James Bible, of Wesley and of Livingston and of William Carey and of Adoniram Judge. This was that period, right? Most of the hymns that we sing come from that period. The bringing forth of the scriptures. That was that God set before them an open door because they had not denied his name. They kept his word and had a little strength. But look what the Lord tells me, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So that church is given a promise that hour of temptation, which shall try the whole earth, they'll be spared from. Okay. Laodicea is next. Laodicean church age. Rights of the people. The people's rights. Rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. God said, you're poor, you're wretched, you're miserable, blind, you're naked. Now, brethren, from what we can see, and I want you to keep this in mind, for I believe what Scripture shows is the church will not be here for the tribulation time. But that doesn't mean that we will not see some things as an overlap as we're coming up to it. All right? And the Bible tells us that judgment must begin at the house of God. How do you avoid that? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You judge yourself. You stay in communion, a close walk with the Lord, and judge yourself. Now watch it. Look at Revelation 3. I want you to watch this. Revelation 3 and verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So that's that message to Laodicea and the Laodicean church age, that last church age before the events of the tribulation start in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, you see a picture of the rapture. I looked, behold, a door was open to heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord shall descend from heaven, voice of the trumpet of God, voice of archangel. Trump of God, dead in Christ. Okay, you see a picture of that. But notice this church, this church age, the Lord says, I stand at the door and knock if any man hear my voice and open the door. Okay, now look at Song of Solomon 5. The bridegroom is talking to his bride. Verse 1, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, a drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. Why, look at that. So here's her husband, the bridegroom, her husband. They're married because the Bible refers to it as his spouse continually in the Song of Solomon. The voice of my beloved that knocketh. So he doesn't just knock, he speaks. What did we just read in Revelation? Behold, I stand at the door and knock if any man hear my voice. So in Revelation, he's knocking and he's speaking. Song of Solomon. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh. A knock and a voice. Saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. You have a picture right here. One of the best cross references you can put in your Bible is Song of Solomon 5:2 with Revelation 3, think of verse 21 around there where we just looked at. They correspond. They correspond together. And notice what he's saying. Open to me, my sister. What's happening in Revelation? The Lord is outside of his own church saying, let me in. Let me in. Okay. What's he saying in the Song of Solomon? Open my sister. The Lord's referred to in Romans as we're joined to Ezra Christ, as our elder brother in a sense. My love. He loves us, gave himself my dove. Picture of the Holy Ghost, how the church has the Spirit of God. My undefiled. And we are undefiled in him. All right. He's wanting fellowship just like he wants in Revelation 3. And we've gone over this before, so I'll just lightly touch this part. What happens? She feels like she's got to get herself ready. That she, in her own ability, can make herself to where he'll be pleased with her. She is forgetting that she has already accepted in him. And he's saying, open up. Brethren, we're at the point today to where many believers, instead of concentrating on what we have in Christ, so often it's, well, if I'll sanctify myself to where, well, God will really be pleased with me. Just walk with him. He just wants you. He wants me. He wants fellowship with us. He will tell us anything that needs to be taken care of. Anything that's not right, he will tell us. But she doesn't do it, and he goes away. So he goes away. She's lost that fellowship. Now watch what happens. Please watch this. Verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. She has lost fellowship with him. So she goes looking for him. Watch what happens. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. So she gets wounded. She gets beat upon. Now, she lost fellowship with him earlier in Song of Solomon and went looking for him. The watchman didn't beat her before, but they do this time. And look what she does. Who does she go looking for him to? I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I'm sick of love. She can't find him, so who does she go to find him? The daughters of Jerusalem. They don't know where he's at. Look what they say to her. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? They say, what's so great about him? Talk to us about him. So she starts describing him. Now, I honestly believe you have a picture here of what is starting to happen today. People cannot find the Lord. Because what's happening is God, the Lord Jesus, has been put out of churches, if you will, in a sense. And they're looking for him. He's knocking, and they're looking for him. So what's happening is, in their frustration, they're going to the daughters of Jerusalem. They're going to Judaism. They're going to supposed Hebraic roots. They don't know him. They don't know him. We're the ones supposed to tell. In fact, we're the ones to tell him about him. We're the ones to describe their almost to them. Because look, she's the one that describes him. And in describing him, because from the next verses to the end of the chapter, she's describing him, right? And you go to chapter 6, they say, whither is thy beloved gone, O the fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? As you go on, you read in chapter 6 that she finds him. Because he starts then talking and describing her. She finds him again. But you know how she found him? When she started describing him to those daughters of Jerusalem, and when she started thinking about him and describing how wonderful he was, then you go see a little bit after that, she finds him. And brethren, that's always what it is. Christ, 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 Christ. Always Christ, always Jesus, always extolling him, always lifting him up. Brethren, we cannot let anything deter us or get our sights off the blessed, wonderful, glorious, and beautiful Lord Jesus. I'm serious, brethren. Anything, even if it be a good thing that gets our minds off Christ, it'll take everything from us. It's when she starts describing him, he's this, he's this, he's this, she finds him. And look what happens. Look what happens. Verse 10 of chapter 6. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? All those things describe the church in one aspect or another. I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranate budded. Or ever I was aware, look what happens, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. It's like she takes off, she's gone. Like, you know, Elijah and that chariot that took him away. Look what they say. Look what the daughters of Jerusalem say, verse 13. Return, return, O Shulamite. She's gone. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. What I'm telling you is, he was knocking. She hesitated. She couldn't find him. She goes to the daughters of Jerusalem. They can't find him. They don't know where he's at. She has to describe him to them. But in doing so, she starts glorying in him. And then you see him describing her, and they find one another, and next thing you know, she's gone. She's gone. And they're going, where have you gone? Brethren, I believe with all my heart you have a foreshadowing here of what's going to take place. We know Laodicea stand at the door and knock. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Brethren, I believe that the church is going to see some stuff. Not tribulation, but some stuff to purge and get the minds back on Christ. Back on Christ. Back on Christ. And those that go to Judaism as they're doing to find him are going to find out, no, if you're really saved, you're the one that has what they need. And in concentrating back on Christ, that fellowship gets back, and then she's gone. She's gone. And there the daughters of Jerusalem, one, you know, return, return, return. I think you have a picture of that transition taking place, and I believe that's what's going on right now. But notice prior to this, prior to her concentrating back on him, she got beat. She went through it. Prior to her concentrating her mind back on him, describing him, glorying in him, and then meeting up with him, she got wounded. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Brethren, before it starts on this world, I believe the church possibly will see some stuff that'll help the church to concentrate back on Christ. Now, you know the best way to avoid that having to happen? The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened, Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The best thing to do is just stay close to him. Make sure the door in your life is always open to him. Make much of the precious Lord Jesus. Extol him, look to him, lift him up, and just love Jesus. Love him through his word. Keep your eyes upon him. And brethren, then the Lord doesn't have to do something to get us back to where we need to be with our minds on him. And brethren, I tell you, I believe that's as important a thing as I could say or have said concerning where we're at and the day and hour we're in. It just is playing out so perfectly, and I believe we have a layout of Scripture right here with it. So, Brother Lakir, the whole key, you don't sit around going, wow, you think, I do, I think some things may happen. I'm not going to fret about it. Best thing to do for a believer, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Walk with him. Just, here's the thing, in mine, in your personal life, that don't have to happen if we'll love him as we are right now. Keep that love with him. But I believe you have a picture of things, and I do know the judgment must begin at the house of God. Brethren, we cannot deny. We cannot deny. Brethren, would anybody in here deny that the professing church today, especially in America, is eat up with materialism? I'm not telling you to come out and become a monk. I'm telling you to walk with God. Lay him to rest. But eat up with materialism. Okay? So, it's Laodicea. What has happened? Brethren, people have forgot about Jesus and loving him. And the whole key here is loving the Savior. Her loving the Savior. Brethren, don't let anything keep you from loving the Lord Jesus. And listen, it's not that she was involved in any kind of, what was she doing? She wouldn't do anything ungodly, anything hard. She just had taken and she offended him by trying to get herself ready rather than just loving him. Laodicea, I stand at the door and knock. Lord said, You're rich and increased with goods, yet you're miserable, you're blind, you're naked. Judgment must begin at the house of God. But brethren, if we would judge ourselves, God don't have to. And if we will love the Lord and walk with Him, then He doesn't have to do anything to rekindle our love. He doesn't have to do anything if we're trying to keep it kindled ourselves. But I believe what you're seeing when folks go into Judaism or Hebraic roots, I believe you see it laid out here in the book of Song of Solomon. Now, brethren, you know what? Jesus Christ could come back tonight. He'd come back this week. Glory to God, no argument from me, and I surely wouldn't be one from you. But can I say this? In Song of Solomon 5 and 6, her soul makes her like the chariots of Amminadab after she starts loving Him again. Glorying in Him, if you will. And she'd got beat prior to that. So, brethren, I don't know if the Lord comes back, let's say this week. I'm not saying He can't. But all of a sudden, the Lord's just going to take and, okay, snatch everybody out of here. You're going to miss it all. But brethren, I'm not so sure that the professing church is in the state of a love for the Lord like needs to be. Belongs to the Lord, no doubt. Secure in the Lord. But I'm not so sure that the professing church is in the state of mind of love for the Lord that needs to be before He is ready to say, okay, it's time to go. I believe if that is the case, He will do what needs to be done to get the true church, there's one, to love Him and glory in Him as the church has before and can and should do. That being said, if the Lord comes back this week, ain't going to be no argument from me. That's for sure. But I get a little concerned about, once again, those who are trying to say, this is going to happen because of this, and I believe they're doing disjustice to the Scriptures and what they're trying to do. I believe their interpretation of things by events and other sources they're going to are wrong, and I believe it can really do some damage. And if we are around here again next week, don't worry, you're going to see something else come down the line before long, too. You're going to continue to see it. Brethren, that's why we've got to be careful, stick with the simple, right things that God has set up, church, Scriptures, things of God, and love the Lord Jesus. Just love Him. Love Him. Love Him. Then there's nothing He has to do. Brethren, may God help us so to live that there's nothing He has to do to rekindle our love or get us to glory in Him like we ought to be doing. To have that and maintain it. But I believe you do have a picture here of what is going on.